This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. Coming up in the noon hour today, Andy Reid will speak. We're back on the normal schedule. It is a normal game week. Obviously, the Eagles coming to town on Sunday. We'll have all week to talk about that matchup. Plenty to get into prior to that, obviously, with what happened on Friday night in Brazil. But the only place you can hear from Andy Reid on a Monday is right here on 96.5 The Fan during Cody and Gold. That'll be around 12:10, sometimes a little bit earlier, give or take. But that'll be coming up a little bit later on today. You guys, of course, I'm sure have plenty of thoughts. You can interact with us today on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. The stream up and running as well, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Where do you want to start? Where do you want to start with Friday night,
well,
Cody? Because I think, look,
there's a few choices.
Yeah. My first observation very quickly was, I'm sure like so many of you, which is, boy, oh boy, this is the first quarter and a half. And we're watching the Super Bowl again.
I mean, they're just about to get run out of the building.
That same terrible feeling you had watching the Eagles dominate the Chiefs, ended up being four quarters in that game, was the feeling that I, and I'm sure so many of you had, Friday in the first hour of that football game, a team that could do whatever they wanted to offensively, guys wide open. They were in full control, just like Jalen Hurts was. It was Justin Herbert this go around. And obviously offensively, you had some terrible injury luck right out of the gate for the second year in a row against the Chargers. We're going to talk about, you know, Xavier Worthy's injury latest and everything like that. But just all those things, it was like a team that won 15 games a year ago. All the bad stuff for that year all happened Friday night.
In like the first, I don't know, 2 minutes of action, like just immediately things went bad. They got the ball. They ran three plays. Xavier Worthy was clearly immediately hurt by, and I don't think we ever, do we get clarification on who ran the wrong route where when completely wiping each other out? And of course, Travis Kelce, a bit bigger than Xavier Worthy, ends up wiping him out of the game and they run into all these issues. Yeah, we will talk about the injury. The short part was, I kind of felt like you. I was like, oh God, this is Super Bowl deja vu. This is my nightmare. And they're going to get run out. And then all of a sudden, in the third quarter, when the game was about to be what I thought about to be 13-13 before Harrison Butker missed the extra point, when it was getting ready to be 13-13, after that extra point, I felt different. But right before that moment, and that brief 15-second window, Gold, when it looked like they were getting ready to kick that ball and tie it up, I was like, the Chargers must be sick to their stomach that they let the Chiefs back in this game, in a game in which they did not play well for such a huge chunk of it. But genuinely, one of the most disorganized performances I've seen from them. Bad structure on defense, wide open plays. You got Drew Tranquil cussing out Chris Jones at the end for losing contain on the outside. That was what really stood out. They felt like they were all working against each other And that's not how Chiefs football normally feels.
Yeah, I don't know if it was so much working against each other as it was to what you're
not
saying.
Not working together.
What you were saying is you had guys all over the defense not communicating, running into each other, which led to wide open targets. We don't have to get too dirty with the numbers here today. But basically, Ladd McConkey was open 30% of all routes he ran, which obviously is an insanely high number. And consistently, Keenan Allen was getting wide open. And that was a lot of that was pure miscommunication. And anytime you're getting your own player running into you, one time it cost you an injury on the offensive side. On the defensive side, it just led to wide open targets for Justin Herbert and made his life so easy. You didn't get any pressure on the quarterback. Uh-huh. And so Justin Herbert was wheeling and dealing and looked great. He had all day. He could do whatever he wanted. And the Chargers, to their credit, were super aggressive through the air because they knew the Chiefs defense was worn down at some point in that game for being on the field as much as they were, and they had no pressure. So the Chargers, who are typically, and I bet you they'll go back to it, are going to be a run-first team. I don't think Harbaugh just completely shifted his entire philosophy.
No, I think he just realized they could take advantage of it in that game. Yeah.
To their credit, they did that. Now, we're going to get through each and every little thing. Don't worry. We're going to talk about Juwan Taylor. We're going to talk about Travis Kelce. We're going to obviously talk about the rest of the rushing attack. Was there even a rushing attack that existed?
Are you panicked? Is the season over?
But
fold up shop.
Before we go any further, I must say, and I trust me, I was not happy with Friday night. This weekend wasn't the best weekend. You guys may have seen that what happened on Saturday as well. So, and some of you like that. I didn't. Some of you like Saturday.
Tough for if you were a Kansas fan and a Chiefs fan.
I've had better weekends, Cody. I've definitely had better weekends. Fair. But with all that said, can we acknowledge while we're going to get into all the very real concerns with this football team, can we acknowledge it is week one and this team doesn't suddenly suck? They didn't suddenly forget how to play football. The team is not going to now win 8 games and miss the playoffs. Let's all take a deep breath. Okay, now we can keep on criticizing.
I actually do think that that's an important note, though. Like, not to just be like passerby. Here just as a quick observation for a couple of little stats to give you to make you feel a little bit better on this Monday morning. One, the last time they lost the opening game of the season, they ended the season, and I'm sure you remember this because it was only 2 years ago, winning the Super Bowl. The last time they started after week one, dead last in the division, which they are right now in the AFC West, they hosted the AFC title game. So, like, look, do I think that they forgot how to play football? No, but for a game, it did look that way. Like, for a game, my frustrations were, what are you, the same damn team from last year? Oh, check down. Mr. Checkdown's back. And no creativity. And Andy just ignored that they had a running game. And defensively, what's funny is years past, we used to say Spags defense would start slow and then get hot. So, like, I can't even make that argument. Just the last couple of years has spoiled us because Spags teams defensively have kind of found it early versus the previous years where, like, they had to find it in the middle of the year. There was just, it just felt, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to find out this is not the travel part, not the like, oh, they had to travel. It felt like the air was sucked out of the room when Xavier Worthy was walking away. And I imagine that their game plan probably had some pretty key emphasis on Xavier Worthy.
Once they settled
in, the offense kind of worked. The defense is the problem the entire game.
I don't doubt that the game plan changed when Worthy went out. Obviously, he was going to be a huge part, and it still will, hopefully. We'll talk about the latest with his injury in a second. You're right. As the game went on, they actually scored on their last 5 drives against the Chargers. So, this is where, like, bigger picture, like, if we're putting together our priority list of concerns and everything, far more concerned about the defense, far more concerned than the offense. And that's with me acknowledging that right now it looks like they're going to have to go through a lot of growing pains offensively with not having their number one and number two receiver, at least for another 5 weeks. That's when Rice is back. And we don't know the for sure timeline on Worthy, but it feels like that could at least also be 5 or 6 weeks at minimum before Worthy's back, depending on what we learned from Andy Reid today. So they're going to have to figure this out, and it's going to be frustrating to watch offensively. And I get why there are some people panicking, because they know the schedule that the Chiefs have the first 6 weeks and how difficult this path is. You have the defending champs coming to Arrowhead. We'll, again, have plenty of time all week
Baltimore
to talk about
Baltimore team that's probably going to be pretty mad after last night.
Yeah, exactly. I think, though, the way this team approached week one, you said it was, you weren't blaming it on travel, but you were talking about, like, the energy level and everything. I think what was really frustrating to hear after the game from Andy and others, and I understand, what are they supposed to say? But so many of them mentioned they didn't feel like they met the moment, if you will, and had the energy level and the intensity needed to go out there and win a football game. But for weeks and months prior on this show, and when we had players on the show during camp, and when we heard from Andy Reid and others, it was all about, we're on this, heck, Isaiah Pacheco.
Revenge tour.
You know
tour.
What revenge means? You know what tour means? Revenge uh-huh. tour. All that, and yet they claim they didn't have the energy or the intensity to match the moment, and the maybe emotionally they didn't match the moment either, but it was all supposed to be about them proving people wrong. And I understand it's a long grind. This is a marathon, not a sprint of a season. We know that more than most, I think, cities in the NFL, based off of how last year even went. They won 15 games, but there were times where people thought that it was going to fall apart on them as well. It's frustrating to hear, though, that the Super Bowl loss last year and all the talk about it motivating them, than to hear that the energy level wasn't there. What were we waiting for?
I don't, again, I think the part of the energy level issue was Xavier Worthy getting beat. Cause like they had to feel the same thing we did, Gold. When you and I are watching that game, we're all at Kansas City watching that game. And Travis Kelce runs into Xavier Worthy, or Xavier Worthy runs into Travis Kelce, whichever version of the story it is. And he has got a towel over his head, walking back into the locker room. And you're like, are you kidding? Because my immediate thought was exactly what happened the rest of the game. Like, okay, so I got to watch last year's offense again?
Yeah.
Hard to have a revenge tour when you got to get it 3.5 yards at a time. Like, it's hard to feel like you're out for blood if you can't, if it's a crawling, painstaking, because their very first drive, when they finally started getting on the board, it was like 14 plays in a million minutes and took forever. And I'm like, yeah, that looks like last year's team. Last year's team wasn't incapable of having long, sustained drives. Last year's team was actually really good at that. And then Juwan Taylor was struggling and all this other stuff. And it just felt like you were having deja vu to the end of last season, a team that did go to the Super Bowl. That goes back to the whole point where this is why I won't panic. Last year's team that had no wide receivers, that struggled for a huge chunk of it, won 15 games and went to a Super Bowl. Do I think now? I don't know what I would take after 6 games now. Before Rashee Rice, what would I just lock in? I don't think I'd lock in 3-3. That's how I know I'm an optimist. If I said right now, I'll guarantee you 3-3 and then Rice comes back, you take it? Or would you 4-2 I'd take, because obviously they've already lost one of the games. But 3-3, I'd still like, nah, Chiefs can go play their schedule. I'll see how they play against the Ravens. I'll see how they play against the Eagles.
I think the answer to that question depends on how much do you think the defense can come along over the next couple of weeks? Because again, offensively, I think we know what it's going to look like now for a few weeks. We saw it multiple times last year. They're capable of scoring, but it's going to be tough and it's going to be frustrating and not a smooth operation all the time. The offense over the next 5 weeks to me will be very similar to last year's, where you are quote unquote good enough to win because of your defense playing at a certain level. And that's why I still think the number one concern and focus, honestly, for me this week is what can be fixed defensively, more than even offensively. It's defensively, because we all know Jaden Hicks had a very, very rough day at the office. It's one game for him. But a rough day at the office, as we said earlier, you had guys running into each other. You had very little pass rush. It was almost non-existent. You had an odd amount of, soft zone coverage throughout the game. I have faith in Spags, but also how quickly can he get this group playing at a high enough level that can complement an offense that clearly is not going to be full speed with multiple key injuries now, or one's a suspension, but multiple weapons out the first minimum next 5-6 weeks of the season. So that's why I think it is more about, if you're asking me, what would I lock in for the rest of the month and a half, it's your confidence in the defense coming along more than it is actually the offense coming through over the next few weeks.
The problem was, it wasn't just one thing defensively that was bad in that game. It was they got no pressure on Justin Herbert, or got very little pressure on Justin Herbert, despite the fact he was without his left tackle. They had switched alt, did not allow a single pressure, but they were on a backup right tackle. It's not like they got a ton of pressure over there. So they didn't get pressure. Christian Fulton didn't play, and the secondary struggled. And then I do kind of agree with the fan sentiment that was, notice Justin Reed and a safety getting people organized, not being there.
Sure.
They didn't seem like on the back end they had it all sorted yet. And that might just take time for young players who have not been in that position to grow into that role. I'm not saying they can't grow into that role, but it did look like a defense who did not know what it was doing on the back end in the normal organization of the veteran safety that they're accustomed to having. Now, see, this is where the text line goes too far. They said, hey, you know, you're Football is an injury sport. You're supposed to overcome them. Patrick Mahomes didn't overcome his injuries. Justin Herbert did because he lost his left tackle. Patrick Mahomes lost half his team last year, won 15 games, and went to the Super Bowl. So, like, I think they're a team capable of overcoming injuries, even if in that one game they did not play well without Xavier Worthy. It's also harder in an individual game. You have an entire game plan dedicated to beating a team that includes a player who had been healthy the entire time and then on the third play of the game is no longer available to you. I know next man up is a thing we can all say. That is a difficult thing in the moment to overcome strategy.
It's not an excuse. It's just reality. No. I mean, any team loses their number one and number two offensive weapon, things are not going to look as great offensively. That's just the reality, though. Like, the can't, you know, for, we can talk about it for a while, but the Chiefs have to very quickly move on from that and know that they're going to be without Rice and Worthy and start to get some things cleaned up. If this was week, you know, four, week three, it's a different conversation than it is in week one. Let's see what they look like. Obviously, a tough, tough game coming up on Sunday. The Chiefs are 1.5 point underdogs against the Eagles at home. Let's see what they got. Let's see what they got. Obviously, we'll have all week though to talk more about Philly, who we discussed last Friday. They didn't look great in a win against Dallas. So
added a defensive lineman shopping for corners. So they don't love their roster either.
But yeah, the Chiefs have a ton of issues right now, and I will still say I'll trust a veteran coaching staff that has basically the identical coaching staff as last year that won 15 games to be able to make some tweaks to get them to where they need to be to find a way to win games until they can get some offensive weapons back. And can they bring along this defense without having to go make changes? I know there's people on the text line already saying they need to go trade for players and sign free agents and all that.
Oh, I saw the Tyreek stuff. Like, Tyreek was trying to get himself fired in the middle of the game yesterday. Yeah.
Look,
everyone was trying to get themselves fired in the Dolphins.
I'm willing to have the Tyreek Hill conversation because I do think he's going to get traded this year, but it's today the day to do that conversation. The Dolphins are not trading Tyreek Hill 24 hours after week one. Now, in 2 or 3 weeks, I think it becomes a real conversation. There's also some major financial hurdles that would have to be worked out. But we can have that conversation if you guys want tomorrow on the show or something.
Sure.
He's clearly, the way things are trending in Miami, going to be, I think, out of Miami at some point this year. But let's see how that thing plays out. Let's talk about Worthy a little bit because that was so devastating. Ugh. As you said, three plays in. Andy Reid's going to speak in the noon hour. I don't know how much we're going to get from him, frankly, but the latest from Ian Rappaport on Worthy's shoulder.
The Kansas City Chiefs in Brazil not only suffered a tough loss to the Los Angeles Chargers, but also likely lost one of their top weapons, at least for a period of time. My understanding is Xavier Worthy, the electric receiver who suffered that injury right there to friendly fire, suffered a dislocated shoulder. It is unclear as of right now how much time he's going to miss, still soliciting a second opinion. I am told the most likely option is for him to be able to brace it up and return this season. However, test pending and surgery is still, as of right now, an option.
So up in the air, and depending on which option he chooses, I'm assuming will dictate also the length of recovery time and how long they're going to miss him. One thing we know, like, this isn't one of those, just brace it up and he's coming back next week. It feels like everybody recognizes there's going to be some significant time missed here for Xavier Worthy. And yes, it sucks that last year it was a friendly fire injury to Rashee Rice's knee against the Chargers that knocked him out for the year. And this one was a friendly fire Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy collision that is going to knock Worthy out of, at minimum for a few weeks. I think more than that, but we'll see and maybe hear from Andy about that in the noon hour.
I don't know. I mean,
or what'll happen is Andy will talk at 12:10 and then at 1:30, Ian Rappaport will report the actual injury.
Yeah, that's actually probably more likely than anything else at this point. Look, I look up separated just like anyone else, right? All right, let's look up separated shoulder injuries in the NFL. How long are players out for? It really genuinely depends on the grade. It really, really depends on the grade. So depending
on Professor Tapp, what do you think?
Honestly, I think it's probably going to be at least a month and probably longer.
The Mayo Clinic says it's anywhere from a few weeks. I looked this up yesterday as soon as it happened. And there was some doctors on Twitter.
Did the Mayo Clinic say it on... as it relates to football or just like people?
No, just people in general, but adults confirm adults versus children, et cetera. It's a few weeks to a few months, depending on the severity of it. And then if it's surgery, it's full recovery is anywhere from 5 to 6 months.
Yeah, my complete non-doctor,
if it's surgery, he's probably done for the season.
My complete non-medical educated guess is he's at least out 6 weeks. But
Yeah, I would say between 4 and 8. So we're all kind of in the exact same range as far as where it goes. But that's the problem, is that now they're going to have Hollywood Brown as their number one wide receiver. But I genuinely, this is a complete disruption to their offense, because the difference is last year is they at least had Xavier Worthy, who was their best receiver on the roster after Rashee Rice went down. Maybe he didn't show up right away in the box score, but he was definitively their most talented and best wide receiver after Rashee Rice going into it. Well, now their best wide receiver is Hollywood Brown, a guy that we've barely seen play for the Chiefs. Now, admittedly, had a pretty good game statistically on there, but some of the advanced stats didn't really like what he did, and that it was just Mahomes was hitting him in perfect stride. And like, it's, I don't know.
Well, really
I'm
going
to guess that he's going to try to play and that he's not going to want to miss his entire second season.
Well, they need him desperately. And that's what really stinks is we talked for much of the offseason about, even with the Rice suspension, at some point, are we going to finally see the big three in the wide receiver
room? Never going to see it.
And I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, because this is also knowing that Hollywood Brown has injury history, and he got targeted like 16 times in the game, and we'll see what he's able to do. He's got a heck of an opportunity for himself personally, statistically, to put up some numbers to where he gets paid in the offseason. If he can stay healthy, he's going to have every opportunity in this offense right now.
He's going to put up some numbers, probably.
To put up some numbers. We'll see. But Brown, Rice, Worthy on the field at the same time.
I borderline don't want Hollywood Brown to practice. I need this man to make it through 5 weeks. After that, Rashee Rice is at least. I need Hollywood Brown to stay healthy. Do whatever you got to do to stay healthy for 5 weeks. And I know that that's like, he's had stretches of time where he's certainly been healthy for that amount of time. But obviously he was coming off an injury season. Then he came here and immediately got hurt. And so like, you were constantly, and then had like some ticky-tack stuff in the preseason that I wasn't worried about. I thought it was more just protecting his body. But yeah, Hollywood Brown became, him and Travis Kelce are now two of the most important players on offense. And I don't know, I know we'll talk about it a little bit, maybe hand the ball off a couple of times to relieve. And this goes back to the dynamic running back part. Part of the reason you and I wanted a dynamic running back on the roster was for what their offense could be, but also in case of this, is that if you had a dynamic running game to go with the things that are happening now, at least you think you could lean on a different weapon.
Who's the most explosive player that's actually going to be available on Sunday?
Hollywood Brown.
It's him or Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah.
Explosive player. I'm not saying
Cam Darling caught a deep pass in that game.
That's where they're at offensively right now heading into Sunday. That they're two most explosive offensive weapons. Maybe you guys disagree on the text line. It looks like will be Hollywood Brown and Tyquan Thornton.
I think that's the answer. I absolutely think that's the answer.
And that's
We're in for some more knockout, knockdown fights probably on the offense. They're going to have to win some ugly games. Next week against, or this week against
Sunday
the Philly.
Is all about just finding a way to win. I don't care how they win.
21-20, 10-7, 10-9, 50-51. I really don't care. You're right.
No, it does not matter.
Just win a football game.
At this point, just find a way to win. Absolutely.
You know, we should have tried to find a way to win. As you might remember, this show decided, Alex was like, you know what? We're heading out to Circa. Let's get in a pick'em contest together. We can do this with our collective brains and acumen of football. We'll make selections based on the spread, put those selections in, and try to ride our way to glory. We've had 4 selections in so far. Our record is
0-4. We are going for last place, baby. Rob Britton.
You know how hard it is to go 0-4?
It's very hard. Rob Britton, Dusty,
Bink,
Speck,
me and you.
And you and I are all part of this Circa Million team. And for those that don't know, obviously the goal is to get as many picks right. And there's quarterly prizes for...
Oh, not get them all wrong.
That's right. There's quarterly prizes for finishing well. There's also top 100 at the end of the year. And there's, you know, overall, it's like, what, a $10 plus million prize pool. There's also what they call the booby prize, which is finishing last each quarter and each season. So I'm telling you, so tonight, you know, I like Chicago to win. I actually don't want them to cover tonight. Now,
For the booby prize already?
For the quarterly, we're better off going 0-5 tonight than finishing 1-4 this week. I'm serious. And then if we go 0-5 with a loss tonight in Chicago spread,
we should try to lose next week.
Next week, and of course, we'll go 5-0 when we try to go 0-5. But next week, we should think trying to go for last place. I'm there already.
Yeah, after 4 games?
For the quarter prize.
Yep. I don't know. Everyone was like, hey, who made that pick or who made this selection? We made them as a group.
Yeah.
That's what makes it worse. We all put in the 3 selections we like. Then, based on the most popular selections, we were down to 4 picks. So we had our 4 or 5. Great. All right, tie for the fifth selection. Let's figure out. Hey, guys, let's open it up. What do you guys think for the final selection? We're between these three games, one of them being Miami to pick 'em. Did I choose Miami to pick him in that? I did.
Oh, do you want the exact breakdown of who had what picks?
Nah, I mean, it was bad for everybody. We all did terrible. I was 0-3.
Nobody did well, but yeah, I can tell you, here's the pick. So Bink submitted.
Oh, I'm 0-2. My third pick is tonight.
Bink submitted Pittsburgh -3. They did not cover. They won by two. Speck submitted Pittsburgh -3. I submitted Pittsburgh -3. Rob submitted Pittsburgh -3. All were wrong. You submitted. Speck -5. Dusty submitted Miami pick 'em.
That was the backup choice, though. We didn't originally select that one. I want to make it clear that was the, like, it didn't get enough votes the first time, and then we had to revote.
That was not the backup one.
I thought that was a repick.
No, the backup one was Seattle +2.5.
Oh, gosh. I thought it was the other way.
The only people that got, and we didn't submit these, Bink was on Indianapolis, but we didn't use his pick because he was not the majority, because Speck, you, and Dusty won in Miami. Dusty had Washington -6. Nobody else had that, so we didn't use it. And then the only one left is Speck, me, and you had Chicago +1.5. And again, I told you, I actually don't want that pick to be right, even though it's going to tick me off because I was very confident in Chicago covering tonight and maybe winning. And that'll be the one we get right. And I don't want it to be right.
The last place for the quarter booby prize is $25,000. Going a long way between
I'll
six
take
people.
It. Anyway, so not a great start.
So bad.
Not a great start. Don't forget, Monday's football coverage is presented by BC Bank, where they're focused on your success. At BC Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at bcbank.com. Up next, I told you, it wasn't a great weekend for me. Let's talk about what happened on Saturday in Columbia.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Sorry. Smooth jazz today.
Back here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Text line 913-586-7965. I've seen a few of them come in. Someone says, hey, you guys were joking about Drew calling in sick if the Bengals lost. He told us he wouldn't come to work. That is true. They said, I'm glad Gold is in today after his triple whammy weekend. Chiefs lose, KU loses, Bengals win. Yeah, it was not a... I am here, of course. I was always going to be here. Not the best weekend for me. Someone else said, glad Drew was able to come to work today. Did not look good for him. We will talk about other NFL headlines in just a bit, but let's talk about what happened in Columbia, Missouri. Great game for
what
starters.
What a great start to the Border War.
It was awesome.
Back.
It was an awesome game.
That's a great way to kick it off.
Kansas obviously had the dominant first quarter. Second quarter, they disappeared, and it turned in a hurry on them.
They still it was back and forth until mid-fourth quarter.
Yeah, look, I thought a couple things. One, I felt like before halftime, Kansas got way too conservative. I thought obviously late in the game when they punted, when they clearly had no answer defensively, that was also a conservative call from Lance Leipold. That was really, really frustrating after having a pretty aggressive play calling in the first half, in the first quarter. Obviously great design and all that. But give Missouri credit. You know, I thought, when we talked about the quarterback competition heading into the year, my guess is most people did not think they had that level of quarterback play coming this year on the Missouri side.
Yeah. Perbula has been far better than expectations. Jalen Daniels, he really does look like the peak version of himself again, for what it's worth. That game, other than a controversial call or a last second touchdown, I don't think you could ask for any more. The guy who was kicking for $25,000 put FKU on his body, kicked the ball to the Kansas bench. Then you had back and forth, two quarterbacks dueling, hostile environment. They got quieted for a little bit. I always thought Missouri was going to win the game. You and I both predicted that Missouri would win the game. Kansas put up offensively a much better performance than I was anticipating. I kind of thought if they were going to keep it close, the game would need to be more methodical and intentional. And instead, that thing was just a scorcher. It was like Kansas ran out in front, tried to hold on for dear life, and then went back and forth until, again, the bitter end of that game. I was really impressed by Perbula. I thought the one thing I'd said to Carrington on Friday was the one advantage I'm pretty sure Kansas has is as a quarterback. Like, I think Jalen Daniels is the better quarterback. And why I didn't walk out of that game saying Perbula's definitely better than Jalen Daniels. He looked at least as good. And if you're going to be just as good as a guy who's played as well as he has in the first couple of games, that's going to go a long way. I just kind of liked it.
No,
it felt like it
well.
Had juice.
Yeah,
it makes me excited for the next one.
And they'll be in Lawrence next go around. No, it turned out to be a great game. The Henderson drop is one that's going to, you know, drive me crazy for the rest of the season, I think. Wide receiver for Kansas that transferred in from Alabama and just has to catch that football. I understand it's college football. You still got to catch it, man. In that spot, it's tough. And I told you, you know, college football versus pros and how we evaluate players is different. But now it's the NIL era. It's the NIL
Jalen
era.
Also like can't overthrow him twice.
Sure, that's fair as well.
Those are two big misses.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, but you know, when you're getting paid the kind of money these kids are getting paid, I think you can be far more critical about individual players in college versus before. Not saying you can don't go on their DMs and be an idiot, okay? But and anything like that. But you can be critical of some obvious drops and misses that happen in the game and. There were too many of them. And then after all that, Missouri ends up winning by, you know, 11 points and Missouri ends up covering as well.
This isn't a good question for you, but instead I need a question from Missouri fans on the text line or the YouTube, Twitter chat, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. We live stream 913-586-7965. As a impartial observer of the two teams, as an outsider to this, I know you probably hate it. Just you're a Kansas fan, so there's just no way.
I have no idea what you're about to say, so I'm waiting.
As an outsider, Missouri fans, do you like that your coach complains about nonsense stuff after winning games? Did you hear this audio of him complaining?
No, I'm not aware of this at all, actually.
Reporter? Goal, I believe it's in the system here. Let's play this real quick. This was Eli Drinkwitz after winning the game against Kansas. Going after a student reporter for picking against them.
He would never. No. You got to be lying. There's no way Eli Drinkwitz would ever, after a big win, would ever try to.
Some sarcasm here. But yes, this happened. This was real.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to say it was a really poor take that you had on picking Kansas to win. So with that,
hey, Eli, all in the take. That was bad, and I felt the wrath of it. But congrats on the win.
It was a pretty bad take.
you
felt good about the take.
I felt good about the take before the game, correct?
So what was this? This was after a big win against the rival, before talking about anything about the game.
Eli can't let go that a student reporter picked Kansas to win a football game.
So that's
it's not a take, by the way. It was a prediction of what would happen in a football game.
So after a huge win, the first thing out of Eli Drinkwitz's mouth was calling out a student at the University of Missouri. Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
I think you guys are gassing this up way too much. It's clearly a joke.
No.
And it's friendly banter. You know,
dude, it's not friendly banter to call out an 18-year-old, 19-year-old student reporter.
And he had a smile on his face. It's a joke.
You're allowed.
Are we that sensitive in this society? Are we that sensitive? Mm-hmm. It's a joke. He had a smile on his face. Everybody was laughing.
Are we that sensitive? The student smiled because he knew that Eli Drinker was going to bury him.
He joked, hey, maybe next time don't pick against the school that you go to.
Why do you care that he picked against you?
He was in the room and wanted to make a joke about it. I don't think that it's any more than that.
Someone says it's his personality. I got to say, his personality comes off a bit, what's a nice way to put this? Terse? He comes off like a bit of a jerk. Like, Drew, would you agree to this? I'll leave Gold out of this because I know his answer is based on his previous interaction. Would you say that the national perception or the perception inside the SEC, not from Kansas fans, that Eli Drinkwitz comes off like a bit of a jerk a lot of times.
I would agree, yes. I think he's an eccentric guy.
I didn't say eccentric. Those are different. Jeff Goldblum's eccentric. This guy comes off like a jerk a lot of times. And like, so going after a student reporter just seemed, honestly, what it seemed like, it was like, it's so unnecessary. You got a huge win, rivalry's back, everyone's feeling good, and you're like, can't. You know, he's got just let the man live.
I thought it was totally fine. I didn't have a problem with him. I thought it was a joke. There was a player that also said, "Hey, man, don't pick KU." You know, like I think it's friendly banter more than it is. I'm really irritated that you picked against them. I don't know if it needs to be taken that seriously.
As someone who's been young covering a team before, I'll just say right now, it was like, oh, the student reporter's laughing. He has to. This is like like you're on a firing squad, and then the guy holding the pistol starts telling a joke. I'd laugh too, hoping that this goes a little less serious than the way that it's headed.
He
seriously thought it was egregious that a Missouri reporter picked Missouri to lose. And that's why, I mean, he clearly still remembered it after a 4-hour football game in which they won.
In fairness, I do think it also plays into the rivalry a little bit of how dare you pick Kansas? Come on, man. What are you doing?
Somebody says, you know, this show is off the rails when Drew is the voice of reason. I don't know. I just thought he came off a little bit terse. I will say they had a great game plan offensively. Perbula again. Missouri's got a real chance to make the college football playoff, but they still have to shore up some stuff defensively.
Kansas should be very, very, very excited by how they played on offense, because that defense is very, very good. I think they're going to be top half of the SEC by the end of the season. Like, that's what they were last year. They return a ton of players. They brought in portal guys, and you should feel encouraged. Like, Jimmy Zabrowski did a really nice job calling plays for Kansas. He was on a heater, and Jalen Daniels was as well. And then things started to get stagnant. I also think that, along with Bo Prabula, Ahmad Hardy is as advertised, as is Jamal Roberts. They hung 267 rushing yards on Kansas's defense. That would be the concern for me with Kansas is their defense. They almost allowed 600 yards of total offense, which obviously it's very hard to win a game when that is happening. But I would still be encouraged as a Kansas fan. If you're Missouri, you're flying high. You think college football playoff is incoming, I would say, after that.
Kansas got a very winnable stretch. I mean, you know, nope.
KU is in a better position to win the Big 12 than K-State.
Yes,
KU is in a very good spot.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine, but they put themselves in a position to win that game on Saturday and then ultimately
let it get away,
which was very, you know, upset. People are very upset with you, Cody, on the text line. The text line is very divided. I can see all the 816s, shockingly, are on one side, and all the 785 numbers are coming in are on the other side, hence the border war. So
Missouri fans aren't bothered by it. That's okay. Also, just real quick, is Kansas State broken?
They got some big problems.
I mean,
they have an identity issue.
That defense is absolutely horrendous. They can't figure out what to do with Avery Johnson. He's way too talented for them to be looking like this on offense as well. We're going to talk about K-State tomorrow more because we got so much to get to today on the show. But yeah, they're very fortunate not to be 0-3.
Yeah, looking pretty rough, at least on that end. Let's get back to the NFL. Obviously, we'll talk more Chiefs here in just a few minutes, including what we saw out of Mahomes and why I think it's both good and bad. Yesterday was Sunday. Couple of big NFL stuff. Let's start with the obvious. Before we talk about the Dolphins just quitting on the team and the Lions looking terrible, the Bills-Ravens game, for a regular season game, gave you everything you could have possibly wanted. I also almost turned the game off at 40-25. starting to settle in, night starting to wind down cold, and you're like, you know what? I'm like one punt from the Bills, one score from the Ravens, one stop from the Ravens away from absolutely turning this game off and disinterested. And even after they scored, I'm like, eh, still gonna have to screw it up and then the fumble and everything else inside there. You can take this a couple of ways, depending on who you're a fan of. You can either say these are two of the best teams in the NFL who did absolute war. You could say that the Ravens blew it like they often blow it. You could say, and if you say these are two of the best teams in the NFL, you would also have to say they both have incredibly suspect defenses. And now, I had more worries about the Bills defense going into it. I just took away that these are two teams who will go back and forth. Josh Allen is incredible and has done this a lot of times. And unfortunately, Josh Allen's reputation in the regular season is he does this more. And Lamar Jackson's reputation in the regular season is he does this more. As in, he blows the games more and Josh Allen is better as a comeback guy.
The playoffs are all that matters for both those teams and how they perform in the postseason.
Can they get past Mahomes?
But Josh Allen looked amazing. We already knew that. Lamar looked amazing. We already knew that. As far as their defenses, it's much like we were just discussing with the Chiefs. It's week one. I don't suddenly think that the Bills and Ravens are going to be bad defenses all season long. I think it was just a really, really high-level football game for week one of the season. To have everything clicking that way offensively was awfully impressive. Of course, Derrick Henry, until he fumbled, was putting together an all-time week one type of performance for a running back.
Yeah.
He looks like he's in just as good a shape as he's ever been.
D-Hop made that incredible catch.
Great catch from DeAndre Hopkins. Didn't see that last year in Kansas City, unfortunately.
Not even once.
One against Tampa. Oh, once. That's right. Once against three guys in the Tampa Bay game. But I think the Ravens, they'll have the same problem they've had for the last 4 or 5 years. Big moments. Even when they have a lead, they kind of, you know, pee down their leg a little bit. You know, that's basically what they did again last night. The Ravens have lost 8 games since the 2021 season, in which they had at one point a win probability of at least 90%. They have more than anybody else in football since 2021 in terms of being in those spots.
Crazy.
At one point, I think it was a 99% chance that the Ravens were going to win, and they lost. We saw what happened in the postseason last year against this very Bills team, where they should have won against Buffalo. I mean, this is now their last two losses have come to the Bills in two games they should have won.
And again, it's a regular season game, the same as the Chiefs losing to the Bills or the Ravens in the regular season. Does that mean how the postseason is going to go? And the Ravens and Bills have faced each other in the postseason, and I believe both have come out the victor, at least to this point. So it doesn't mean that that's how that portion of the season is going to go. Honest to God, my biggest takeaway is no. Other than Patrick Mahomes, or at least equal to Patrick Mahomes in this one area, Josh Allen will just like make something happen. He is great at making something happen. Look, Lamar Jackson's going to be an MVP contender again this year. He's one of the four best quarterbacks in the NFL. The same list doesn't change or apply. Is it weird that even though the Bills won, part of my takeaway is that Sean McDermott actively works against him, and then when Josh Allen just has to like be a superhero, things go a little...
Your take definitely had some more merit to it, I think, from last week.
When he went for two, when they... I honestly can't understand it. When they were down 8, and they went for two... Or down 9, and they went for two, leaving themselves down 2 scores, I genuinely did not understand it. There was 12 and a half minutes remaining in the game. This is not one of the... Well, they're going to have to go for two eventually. There's time for 2 scores. Hell, they scored 2 times in the final 3 minutes of the game. So there was definitely time for 2 more scores. You didn't necessarily have to get a touchdown and go for 2 if you're Buffalo. I couldn't believe it. And for a good chunk of the game, I thought the Bills' plan was not very good. They're just, you know, they have Josh Allen, so they were able to overcome a huge chunk of that. I know that it's probably not a great day to try to bag McDermott for a Bills win. I just felt like he was hurting them in that game, that's all.
Questionable decisions. They were fortunate to win, but you know, Josh Allen coming back and playing like that was just...
It was incredible.
Yeah, we've seen it from him before, too. I mean, you know, I know the MVP conversation last year and the way everybody thought he kind of got out of sympathy, but that just because you think Lamar should have won doesn't mean that Josh Allen doesn't play at an MVP level each and every season. The question for him is always going to be, can he finally get over the hump in the postseason against Mahomes, if Mahomes is there? And for Lamar Jackson, it's the exact same. It's the exact same for both those guys. When will one of them, and who is it going to be, break through? I choose to think that it will be one of those two. You guys know my feeling about the rest of the AFC quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree.
I would put my money on one of those two breaking through before others. We've gone through and talked about comparing legacies and contrasting previous quarterbacks and who's the Manning of this era, who's the Roethlisberger, who's the Marino and all that. And I've told you, like, I think these two will get a ring at some point. I think there's another guy, and Drew, plug your ears, that will be Dan Marino. That'll be a Hall of Famer that will not end up getting a ring. Josh Allen will end up getting one at some point in his career. So will Lamar.
I think one of the two for sure. I wouldn't necessarily bet against both. I do still think, like, that game was just a highlight of, you know, you could take it as ever you want, other fans. It must suck to be a Bills or a Ravens fan and get quarterback play at that level, this consistency over a 5-year time period, and have absolutely borderline nothing to show for it but a couple of regular season MVPs and a bunch of playoff losses to Patrick Mahomes.
But you know, there, if you're a Bills fan or even a Ravens fan, or I guess, you know, Cincinnati, whoever else you consider to be contenders in the AFC, certainly a Chargers fan, they're all licking their chops right now because I think Josh Allen and Sean McDermott in particular are smart enough to recognize this. But if you're a fan, you're looking at what Kansas City looked like in week 1. And you're thinking, all right, this is finally our year because of one game. I think that's a mistake. We'll see how the scene, but they think the Chiefs are extremely vulnerable. The difference is the playoffs don't start on September the 8th. They have to be extremely vulnerable on January 15th. Let's say, not on September 8th. And this was the conversation we had, I think, 2 years ago, when the Chiefs did not look all that impressive 2 years ago.
They got beat up pretty bad by the Bills in a regular season game.
And nobody was arguing that they were ready at that point in time to beat one of those teams. And in fact, like right now, they don't look anywhere close, obviously, ready to beat one of those teams. But you don't have to be ready to beat those teams in September. You have to be ready to beat them in January. And so that's where, going back to what we were discussing to start the show, like the level of panic, my panic level is fairly low. Concern level, high. Like, I got a long list of concerns out of the Chiefs' performance, especially after seeing how Baltimore and Buffalo looked. But they don't play the Super Bowl. They don't play an AFC title game this early in the season. So that's why you shouldn't be panicking.
From a number one seed perspective, I would have preferred the Bills lost. Honestly, have you seen, they have no excuse to not be genuinely 7-0. Their next six games are Jets. Jets did look better. In fairness, Justin Fields had the best game of his entire career.
It's 1 week.
But still, Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons, Panthers. That's not exactly murderer's row.
But we knew that before the season started. I mean, we said that this is the year the Bills are likely going to be the number one seed. Last night, I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it makes that extremely more likely. The one other team besides Kansas City, obviously, and even today as we sit here and talk about them, was Baltimore that you would worry about if you were Buffalo for the one seed. Yeah. Buffalo clearly had the inside track before last night, and now I don't know what you call it now. I mean, they are on that road already towards the number one seed because of that.
Can I ask, more likely to continue, Daniel Jones' performance in week 1 or Justin Fields?
That's Drew's hometown team, Fields. The Indianapolis Colts, Daniel Jones.
You said Fields awfully quick there. Daniel Jones scored on every single possession that they took.
Your hometown team. Your Colts.
Anyone brave enough to start Daniel Jones in a fantasy league yesterday? They felt great.
Yeah, it's the hometown team, but one did it against the Pittsburgh Steelers and a healthy defense, and then the other one did it against the Dolphins, who look really, they just look really bad.
Yeah, the Dolphins are
There's no other way to put it. A dumpster fire.
Daniel Jones as a quarterback in Indy is better than Anthony Richardson as a quarterback in Indy. We said that before the season started. But that was more about Miami just being completely out of whack. Yeah, Justin Fields, to his credit, in the Jets, were extremely competitive. I don't know what's going on with the Steelers defense, but it's week 1. Like, I don't think the Steelers defense will be that bad. I don't think Justin Fields is doing that every week now either. If he does that, then obviously the Jets are going to win 8-9 games. And they're not, but you and I, and I don't think Drew even thinks they're anywhere near 8 or 9 win Jets team this year. So
maybe I'm not remembering it well. Did the Jets do something wrong to Aaron Rodgers other than him just getting hurt and not being good? You see a shot after the game?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Glenn did tell him directly that they didn't
love doing anything mean to the Jets. You're like, what the hell?
They cut him and basically said, we don't want you. So that's enough motivation for most people in life, right?
All right, that's fair. It's like they did them wrong in the time he was there.
They didn't do anything that doesn't happen to every other player, but every other player would still be motivated. If you pick any Chiefs player that gets cut.
Like, Mike Pinnell would be motivated.
I'm sure Mike Pinnell, and they're not going to play unless they play in the playoffs, but like, I'm sure Mike Pinnell would be happy to beat the Chiefs right this second. That's just how it works, I think. And
Aaron Rodgers had a good game too. Who would have thought? Really quarterback duel between Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields in week 1.
We said on Friday, Aaron Rodgers is going to go and play, have his best game in New York that he ever had. 4 touchdowns. Now, I think a lot of it was scheme driven, but that's fine. Arthur Smith, to his credit, you know, it wasn't like Aaron Rodgers was out there, you know, and literally carving them up. It was a lot of great play design. Guys were wide open, which is fine. That's, hey, there's no, like, that's better than what it has been in Pittsburgh. But it's not like Rodgers was dropping dimes into tight spots and you're like, wow, he can't miss.
It was just
easy. It was great play design. Guys were wide open. And that's what they're going to have to do, scheme guys open for Aaron Rodgers throughout the season.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games all season long, kicking off with the juicy week one matchups. Finish up tonight between Detroit and Green Bay, obviously, and then Chicago tonight. Start at just $30 for your first year. And that's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
All right, up next, Patrick Mahomes did a couple things again, but it's just masking the bigger issue. We'll explain that, and we'll briefly talk about the Royals. Where do they sit after another weekend, this time against the Twins?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.